In the name of Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen.
Our text is today's lesson with particular attention to the words, "Follow me." Symposium time is a sparkling time for the seminary. To welcome, to visit with, to encourage our alumni and now our alumnae as well is a delight that warms our campus in the midst of a cold Indiana winter. As we welcome you again for worship, for confession, for theological enrichment, and hopefully under God's grace for refreshment and renewal, as we welcome you, such a diverse and even an international group, the thought occurred, I wonder what each of you wanted to be when you grew up. What did you hope for and long for when you were young? Reflect on that for a moment. I know one faculty colleague who entered the University of Oklahoma to study medicine. Another was very interested in science. And still another, chiefly in money. But then the call came, follow me. What was your goal? On the one end of the spectrum, there are no doubt those who have been called to the holy ministry and to deaconess vocation from their infancy. On the other hand, though, there are those who are recently called, who have followed other careers, but at God's time were called to a whole life of service to Christ. And perhaps all of us have made adjustments along the way. That call to follow me can be fleshed out in different ways. Several years ago, Dr. Fickenscher asked a graduating seminary student, "What type of ministry do you feel best suited for? What gifts has God given you?" And he answered with a smiling face, "I want to be a district president." True story. What becomes a real cross and source of anxiety is when there is a distance between what we wanted to be and what we seem to be, where we had hoped to be and where we are now. And how do we handle that? Where do you want to be? Let me indicate that this question can entrap one, drain one, even destroy one. Postured wrongly, it trumps the call to follow me. This question can enfold our thinking in our current culture of self-fulfillment. Without alerting us, this question can enslave us and form a life of endless frustration. Oh, if I only had received that call, if I could only relocate, if only I had a different group of saints to shepherd, if only the Missouri Synod would be this or that, if only I could be like Dr. David Scare. Fizzy. Profound, prolific. Then I would be fulfilled and the full servant of my Lord. If these sentiments have ever defined your moments, and who of us is exempt, so penetrated and permeated is the air we breathe by just such habits, if you felt such frustrations, I have great good and godly news for you. You have heard the words, follow me. You are quite simply in Christ. The name of the blessed and holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has delivered you in the saving flood of baptismal water to the place where you never could have gone, what you never could have achieved, what you never could have been, you are. Namely, God's forgiven child, and positioned where you belong in the arms of the Savior, where no force or power can ever move you, to enjoy a status and a standing that isn't for the moment, but that it's eternal, because it's secured by the blood of the Lamb. How utterly free, how utterly liberating. The thought of any other calling than following Jesus is now shown for what it is, a dead end, turning in upon ourselves as Adam and Eve did, being smothered by the categories of self. Jesus has delivered us from that prison. You are quite simply in Christo, in Christ, now light and life available nowhere else, are freely showered, lavishly given. With every breath, it radiates upon you God's grace and mercy in Christ. Daily, the laser light of his death and resurrection drives out the sin of darkness and self-absorption. Daily, that light points to the city set on the hill where Christ dwells in his fullness. Let this thought settle in. Let it simmer and define your soul. You are more than you ever could have been, that you ever could have achieved or earned or imagined, because you are in Christ. So what about the daily pettiness of our lives? Maybe we're the pastor of a small church, pastor of a conflicted church, pastor in a declining church, pastor in a growing church, or a deaconess who is misunderstood, a deaconess not fully supported. What about all this? All of it is transformed because we are there as the people joined to the living, breathing, resurrected Christ. The hypostatic work of Christ in taking upon himself human flesh is demonstrated in our flesh. And we will confess him, and we will follow him as the light of the world, and we will reveal the false ends and dead ends of a culture that only reduces human beings, and we will counter with the life of Christ. We are transformed, and the cross that you bear in following Christ is precisely where you belong. It's where you exhibit and display his victorious presence. To be in Christ quite simply is to show others what it is to be alive. And to be without him is to announce that people are the walking dead, no matter the frills and the fantasies of our age. So you now shine as those wherever and in whatever circumstances you might be. You exhibit by his grace a life begun, a life defined, a life lived for Christ. As you hear him say, follow me. God bless you. You are where you should be in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.